is the one that is taking us towards committing sin. That is the Ammara. That's not a good nafs. You understand? You know the Sufiya, what they say? This is the heart. The maqam of your, in your chest. Where in your body, where is your qalb? Your qalb is here. Where is your ruh? Your ruh is here. Where is your nafs? Below your navel. Where is the nafs? Below the navel. I'm just teaching you something. So therefore, you take it out from here. When we make zikr, the Imam Asula Rahmatullah Ali taught me that you must draw it from below your navel, that, and throw it over your shoulder here, all ghairullah, and then illallah onto the heart. So when I went there, he taught me, he said, this is how you must make zikr. He taught me himself, Imam Asula Khan, alhamdulillah. So, Hazrat was talking about nafs-e mutmainna. Now, in nafs-e mutmainna, why we give you all chai to drink, isn't it? Yesterday they said, accused me, they said, Mujtab, your bayan is very boring, your majlis, everybody is falling off to sleep, so you have some problem with your majlis. It's too boring. So I told him, but I'm not a clown to make everybody laugh. This is not a something, if you want some orator or something, you go somewhere else. So I said, Hamara kaam hai, to talk about tazkiyatun nafs, make islah, bring people closer towards deen. And I like to stick to the what our akabirin have said. So I like to stick to that script, because in that script there's a lot of noor and barakat. Some people say, Musa, but you must give your own majlis also. You must give your own. So I said that I find more satisfaction in speaking and reading the words of my shuyukh than my own words. That's what inspires me. So I prefer to, I said, I find nuraniyat in it. I get inshirai sadr. And in there, there's so much ikhlas in what they said. It has effect on people's hearts. So it has people's hearts. One person sent me a message this morning, that Mufti Sahab, that now at the middle of the night, when my eyes open, I say astaghfirullah. I say, Allah shukr for that. At least one person made amal on something we said. At least one person. How happy we will get. Suddenly. So therefore, at the end of the day, it's not about words and fancy words, to bamboozle people, bombastic words, eloquence. Our Akabir, they're not interested in all that. It's about tahsir, penetrating the heart. I can give a most beautiful, eloquent bayan, but if it's just like pouring water on a duck's back, what benefit was there? Nobody's life changed, even one iota. Never went one inch forward also. All the time that was spent, sawa will be derived. But the essence of it was not derived. And that is the amal part of it. So that the da'iyah must be created in the heart to be inspired to do good deeds. That is the essence. That's why we sit in majalis. Not to get enjoyment and all those kind of things. So today we decided, ke ab kuch chai bhi nosh farmai hogi, nosh farmayenge. So we'll have some tea. So today won't blame you, Mufti Sahab, you're putting us off to sleep. Sanaji. At least you'll be fresh, inshallah. Allah make it mufid, these few things. So nafs-e-ammara is that nafs that takes a person towards evil. Then you get nafs-e-lawama is the good nafs. That nafs actually stops a person from committing evil. Stops him in his tracks. So Allah has created like that. Right? But one shaitan inside wants to take us towards Jahannam, and alhamdulillah, there is a quwwat-e-difa'iyah inside us. Allah has put something inside to block it also. So a little bit, if a person focuses on his lawama, then alhamdulillah, ayn waqt par, alhamdulillah, he kept his eyes down. He never looked at the lady. Oh, there was some haram thing happening. He saved himself, saved his gaze, contemplated, never committed the guna. That is what it is all about. And then when a person, Hazrat Farmate Muhammad Sallallahu Khan, he said, when a person continues with nafs-e-lawwama, taunting himself, stopping himself, then Allah says, now we will change it to nafs-e-mutmainna. You stop yourself from guna for Allah's sake. You keep on doing it. Where it's going to end up to? You'll end up with nafs-e-mutmainna. That's where it'll end up. And then when it's time to leave this world, then Allah Ta'ala says, He never say, Ya ayyatun nafsul lawwama or anything. He said, Ya ayyatun nafsul mutmainna. Because that's where you reached. And Hazrat said an Ajib thing. He said, for example, nafse radhiya, all this, radhiya tam mardiya, all these different nufus, right? Radhiya, reaching in the condition, reaching Allah Ta'ala, you're happy with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is happy with you. Reaching Allah in that condition. Hazrat says, all these things here are different words, mukhtalif unwanat, but is referring to the same thing. Different words are being used, but referring to the same thing. For example, when we say a person is sahib and nisbat, when we say is sahib and nisbat, Hazrat says, nafse mutmainna or sahib and nisbat ek hi cheez hai. There's no difference between nafse mutmainna and sahib and nisbat. We say, yes, this is a sahib and nisbat buzruk. Now in our, when we think about it, what is sahib and nisbat? He says a person who is very close to Allah Ta'ala. Whole day in his frame of mind, Allah is watching me or I'm watching Allah Ta'ala. Whole day he's got that frame of mind. For example, when we in namaz, we don't talk to anyone. We don't look this way. We don't look that way. We're concentrating in what we're doing. At that moment, that frame of mind where Allah Ta'ala is watching me, certain prohibitions are over me, certain things are allowed for me to do, certain things are not allowed for me to do. Understand it? All those things here now, that frame of mind that we have in namaz, if you take that frame of mind outside namaz, same frame of mind. That's why they say, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha. Quran Sharif says, Ning fahsha, be hayai. Namaz stops us from fahsha, sanat, and all this munkar, from evil. Namaz stops us. Right? Why? Allah is watching me. I'm in namaz. When I said Allahu Akbar, I made everything haram. Sanat. I made everything haram. I can't even talk inside the namaz. I can't eat inside the namaz. I can't do the namaz. I can't do anything. Sab kuch haram kar diya hai. Sahib. Now if you have that frame of mind outside namaz, that Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. He said, not only in jalwat, in the gathering, but when we in khalwat also, when we are alone in solitude, Allah, you watching me. Allah, you watching me. So in the solitude also, then too we must have this, Allah, you watching me. We mustn't make sin in solitude. A lot of times Allah make us maaf in when we are in the gathering, then we are big buzruks. But when we are alone, then we are committing sin. Allah make us maaf for that. That is not right. Sanaji. Hazrat says that when you are in the gathering too, you can be alone. Aka ijtima and aka, one is ijtima, to be in a gathering. We are in the gathering, but you are still, your heart is not in the gathering. Your heart is with Allah. So although you're physically in the gathering, but qalban you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no ikhtilat that is taking place. You're sitting with people all around you, but there's no ikhtilat. Why? Because your heart is somewhere else. For example, you are sitting in the classroom. You got sabak that is going on. You got so many other satis, people, your contemporaries, other students in your class. When the sabak is carrying on inside the class, you are all together. But you're not focusing on anyone there. You're focusing on this dars that is going on. What is the ustad saying? What is the ibarat being read? What is the translation? What is the explanation? Although we are all sitting together, but the focus is not on your satis there. Your focus is on the dars that's taking place in the very same way. I'll give you another simple example. This is what I heard from the mashayikh. See, when we're driving a car, now you have the driver. So the driver, he's focused on the road. But while he's focused on the road, somebody is passing him samosa, somebody is talking to him, but he's talking everything, but the focus, where is it? It's on the road. Do you understand that? But the minute his focus goes off, he must make an accident. So the Ahlullah are like that. Although they're sitting with us, we're sitting together, but the heart is gone somewhere else. Only the physical of person is here, but the heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see? And then when you sit in the sohbat, when you come out, you feel there's rejuvenation in iman. How do you know? So when you go to the Ahlullah, what you must look for? See, I sat in this person's company. Right. Is my iman increasing? Do I feel spiritual rejuvenation by sitting there? If I hear Allah's talk, Rasulullah's talk, I hear all this Quran, the mashayikh's waqiyat, I hear all this. Is my iman increasing or is my iman not increasing? That is what you have to see. You understand that? That's why sahaba ikram, when they were by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would feel power in their iman. That's why the mashur hadith,
Nafaqa Hanzala. Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu anhu, he came home, he said he saw a big change. When they came and they started intermingling and integrating with the family, afasna al-azwaj wa dhayat, they started going to their businesses, all that, they found their iman is going down. So they thought, we become a munafiq now. But when I'm Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm there, how it is? When I go home, I don't find that same level. Because the iman increases and iman decreases. Levels of iman don't remain the same. Levels of iman don't remain the same. If we constantly go to the masjid, we read Quran, we stay with the mashayikh, we make tilawat, we make this, iman stays strong. And once we start getting cutting off from the masjid, the Quran Sharif, the mashayikh, zikr, nothing we're doing, and said, and whole day we are only with the dunya, in that way what's going to happen? Iman's going to take a dive, a nosedive. Understand that? We won't find that level of iman. So even if you see, even myself also, when you are in the madrasa and you are teaching, and you are in the classroom, and you are having sabaks, you are having durus, alhamdulillah, dini khidmat is taking place. Alhamdulillah, you feel satisfaction. You feel happy, alhamdulillah. I had a dars today, I taught somebody something. When the students, when they hear, they trouble us a lot. They trouble us too much. We think, hey, rather run away is better. But when they go, we come to realize, hey, that today is holiday. There's no students in the madrasa. We're not going to class. We're not teaching. We don't feel that nuraniyat today. That barakat of the dars is not there today. You can feel the change. You can see the change, the difference. So imagine now, we can see a difference in 2-3 days holiday. Imagine people who are not connected to the deen of Allah Ta'ala at all. Allah Ta'ala save us from that. That is why we have to go to the sohbat of the mashayikh. It's very, very important. So Hazrat was saying that all these things here are different words, radhiya, mardiya, all this. But the essence is the same. It's all referring to sahib and nisbah, it's all referring to nafs-e mutmainna. This was said by Hazrat Muhammad Sula rahmatullah alayhi. I heard him saying it. Nevertheless, when Hazrat came to Stanger, he gave one majlis in Stanger. So I'll just contribute, inshallah, that majlis today. Allah Ta'ala make it beneficial. It's a not very long majlis. It's an odd night tonight. So while we will sit here also, I also like people to make individual ibadat also on the odd nights. So one is ijtimai work that takes place. That's important. Alhamdulillah, we got a nizam of majlis. That must continue. But together with that, there also have to be your own personal ibadat, where you make munajat with Allah, you talk with Allah, you cry in front of Allah, you make the ibadat of Allah personally, on a personal level. I recommend that a lot. Understand that? Especially on the odd nights, or every night. We have to have that. Ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala. Ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala has to be created. Then you will get the taste of this dunya also. A person who got the whole dunya but no ta'alluq with Allah, wallah, he'll never see the enjoyment of what he has. You have the whole dunya and then you create that link with Allah and combine the two together. Alhamdulillah, you will find jannat in this world. Let me tell you. Because the sukoon that you will get from the azkar and all that. And then you save yourself from so much of guna, save yourself from all that. Every day you're making 100 times istighfar. So that you're washing yourselves, you make yourself pack of all the sins. Tell me how you will feel after that. The peace, the contentment, the sukoon. You'll think you got a small piece of jannat in this world. That's how it will feel, na? So when we do all the haram things, it's just temporary enjoyment. But after that, the anguish that comes in the heart, the anguish, then that heart becomes uneasy. Uneasiness comes inside the heart. Because you know we're doing wrong. So where, how are you gonna, heart gonna be right? The heart won't be right. Heart will be uneasy. But once we start doing the good things, start pleasing Allah Ta'ala, then that whole thing changes. The kafiyat of the heart starts changing. Allah Ta'ala then connects your heart to Him. And if a person's heart is connected to Allah, you've given your heart to Allah, then what is it, Monana? Then this dunya becomes the best place every day, getting closer and closer to Allah Ta'ala. Becomes so enjoyable. Allah grant us all nafsa mutmainna, inshallah. So Hazrat said there was one sahabi, one person, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was sitting, he should come, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam majlis. He should come to the majlis. There was one person who used to come to the majlis. And after a while, he no more coming to the majlis. Can't see him. Ghaib. Now, the affection, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is rahmatul lil alameen. He is the most merciful. Now he picked up that this person was coming. Now I don't see him coming. What happened? What happened to him? So he asked the Sahaba. Sahaba says, no, he's no more staying in Medina. Ab to bohat mali farahi a gayi. He's got too much money now. He's very rich. He no more lives in Medina. He's on the outside of Medina. And he's got a lot of goats and whatever in that time, whatever the wealth was. Allah gave him too much. So he's not coming in Medina anymore. He's staying on the outside. Let's look after everything. So Rasulullah SAW said, okay. Now it came to zakat collection. Time to collect zakat. So Rasulullah SAW sent one person, go to him there, and tell him that he must pay his zakat. So he sent someone. When he went there to that person, then he started saying, ye achha khasa dand hai, tax you came to take from me. Tax. This amount that you'll want from me, that's a very big tax. Started saying like that. So this zakat collector went there, he heard that, he came back and reported to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what he had to say. This is a very big dhan on me. It's a very big tax. Achha khasa. Baqawli mu'am Rasulullah khana achha khasatan. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after a while, he brought his, that money to come give to Rasulullah. Rasulullah never accepted it. Never accepted it. Sent him away. Never took it. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. His wafat took place. Became the khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. It was in his time of khilafat. So he brought that money again and brought it by Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He said, if Huzur never accepted, how can I accept it? If Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam never accepted the money, I'm not accepting it. You take it and you go away. He told him like that. Then came the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Came the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar. He brought the money to Hazrat Umar. Hazrat Umar said, Huzur never accepted. Abu Bakr Siddiq never accepted. How can I accept it? I'm also not accepting it. Send him away. After some time, that person passed away. Now the question comes about, why did Rasulullah SAW not accept it? Why never accept it? He came with it. He didn't send somebody, he never gave it that time, now he brought it. Nabi Islam never accepted. He said, when he said that this is a very big tax, he became a kafir. Yeah. When he said that word that came out from his mouth, yachha khasa dhanne, it's a very big tax on me. When that thing came out from his mouth, finished, he was out of the fold of Islam. For them to accept it, first he had to make tajdeed of his iman first. He had to read his kalima again. Now look at a person, he was sitting in Rasulullah's majlis, and look what his condition was afterwards. What his condition? Out of the fold of Islam with one sentence. Out of the fold of Islam. Nabi Islam never accept, Hazrat Abu Bakr Sahab never accept, Hazrat Umar never accept. Because there is no zakat on a kafir. Zakat, only mu'minin pay zakat. Kafirs, they don't pay zakat. Only mu'minin pay zakat. See? So Hazrat said this here. He gave this waqiyah. Allahu Akbar. This is a type of waqiyah that makes us shiver. That see a person, where he can be, where he can end up. How careful we must be when it comes to iman. And comes to Islam. Comes to what we say. We can't just say anything. Same thing Qarun said also. Qarun said the same thing. When he went to collect the money, he said that, you know what, this year it was my brains I used to accumulate all this year. So that what you're asking me for money now, you know, Allah gave me so much of skill, so much of, and you know, passion of accumulating. I knew how to do it. I had so much of, what you're asking me? This I got from my own self. The Qarun said exactly the same thing. Now this person said exactly the same thing. So Hazrat said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba, Mujhe tumhare iman par itminan hai, that I have full itminan and peace of heart with your, I have itminan with your iman. But what I fear is Allah will give you expansion in the dunya. That's my fear for you. He's telling the Sahaba that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that. That Allah will open the doors of the dunya for you. That's my fear for you. And we know what happens when the dunya gets opened up for a person, but his iman is not strong. Iman, there's no strength in iman, and Allah is blessing him a lot of dawlat. But iman abhi pukhta nahi hai. Then where that dawlat can take him? So that's why Rasulullah said, yes, once your iman is made, and Allah gave you all these things of the world, then that's a separate issue that. That your money will not affect you in any way. It won't affect your heart, won't affect your attitude, it won't affect your qualities. The same person that you was when you had nothing, even after Allah gave you 100, 200, 500 million, no, you're the same person. You haven't changed at all. You're the same person. Even a most poorest person can come to you, you're most welcoming to him. You won't judge a person based on how much money he has, or what is his position in society. You will judge him, he's a mu'min. So, mashallah, he's my brother in Islam. How can I assist? So you'll have good akhlaq for everyone. Money don't have any effect on you. For such people, then they'll use that money for the khidmat of the deen of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala will give them more barakah, and so many makhluk of Allah will benefit. And the akhirat will get made. The akhirat will get made. So therefore, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Sahaba, I have itminan on your iman. Iman is fine. But I'm scared that Allah will open up, give you farahi in the dunya. Then what will happen? You see, so Hazrat says, one is nafse iman, and one is kamale iman. Kamale iman means perfection of iman. And one is halawate iman. Halawat, the taste of iman. Taste. Iman got a taste also. A spiritual taste. A ruhani taste. So, you know, we have nice food. We love our food. So, South Africans are noted for that. So, afar in a car. So, come, tour, and eat food. Hamar Hazrat farmate, on a lighter note, he says, Ham to wahaparte. You know, Hazrat said, when I was there in Khanqa in Lahabad, there was hardly any food there, Basha Wasullah. There was hardly any food. Jo kuch bacha hua tha, he told me himself this. Jo kuch bacha hua, Hazrat used to eat, whatever little bit was left, we used to eat that, and hum apna guzara kar lete the, and we should live on that. So afterwards then we went to Gujarat, and then we saw the dastarkhan, how they are laying it out in Gujarat. We never saw food like that. Then he told me once, Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib came, Nawarallahu Marqada, he came there, and Hazrat made him stay in my house. He says, for 3 months, he stayed in my house, we fed him dal every day. Hamare paas kuch tha hi nahi, he said. We had nothing. So we gave him dal every day for 3 months, Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib, when he came there. Gave him dal for 3 months. They say, we went to Gujarat, we saw the dastarkhan there, how people laid things out. Said, oh, mashallah, what a dastarkhan. UP, there's hardly any dastarkhan in those days. Now we're going to Gujarat, look at the dastarkhan. Then he says, I went to Bombay. Then I saw the dastarkhan in Bombay after that. I said, ha, this is a dastarkhan now. They put down, you know, they put it down. They lay it out. Fir hum Afrika aaye. Then we saw the dastarkhan here. 7-course meals people are giving us here. So much food, we still can't eat, we're just tasting. Here they're tasting that. So much food. They say, farine kha. Come, tour, and eat. It's famous for feeding. But kaam to humko karna nahi hai, as it says. They like to feed. But what we want them to do, that they don't want to do. Go in the majlis, make ittiba, make tazkiya, make all that. That they don't want. They want to feed us properly, he says. But asal kaam hai, wo to karna nahi hai. And the main job gets left behind, and the feeding becomes very important. The first thing say, Buzurg, yes, we must feed the Ahlullah also when they come, we must feed them everything. But that's not the asal. The asal is, must sit in their company so that we can get tazkiyatun nafs and our iman can get rejuvenated. That is the asal. We get connected to Allah Ta'ala. They help us because they were on that journey. So they've seen the journey. If we go to, Muhammad Rasul Rahmatullah Ali used to give an example. If you go to China, I don't know one word of Chinese. Not even one word. Now imagine I'm going there to look for a certain place and I'm looking at those boards. How difficult it is for me to go there and find the right factories where I want to buy my stock and this and that. But if I have an agent on that side, then how much time I will save? He'll save me so much of time that he'll just take me. He knows exactly where to go. He can read all those signs. It's so easy. Yes, we go to an Arab country, mashallah, we can maneuver there, we can read the signs in Arabic, all that. But imagine you're going to China, you're going somewhere else, these foreign countries, we don't know one word of the language there. Going to Spain, Spanish, French, all is German, we don't even know one word of those languages. How difficult. And I went to France, they hate the English language there, the French. They hate it. If you try to want to communicate with them in English, they'll never answer you in English. They speak French. You see, they had this fight between themselves, the British and the French. They still have that hatred in their hearts. That's what I witnessed when I went there. So nevertheless, the point is, if you have somebody who's seen the road, you see, save a lot of time. So one person asked me a question. He sent me now recently. He said, Mufti Sahib, I have a question. Can a person make his tazkiyah himself? Can a person make his own tazkiyah? I told him it's not impossible, but it's improbable. I told him, it's not impossible for you to make your tazkiyah yourself. It's not impossible, but it's improbable. Improbable means very difficult to do it yourself. It'll take you a long time. And with the mashayikh, it don't take so long. So you spend a little bit of time with them, you'll see from kaha se kaha admi ponjare, from where to where we will reach. So that is the whole thing. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about this here. So one is the actual iman and one is kamal in iman. And kamal of iman, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yu'minu ahadukum." Person will not be a kamil believer, hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa an-nas ajma'in, aw kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You won't be a proper mu'min until and unless, understand that, you love me more than your father, your children, and all the people. You have to love me more than everybody else. Otherwise, your iman is not kamil. Rasulullah Sahib said. So Mawlana Yaqub Sahib, in the Dars of Mishkat, he told us, once Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu came into the sohbat of Rasulullah Sahib and told him, I love you more than everybody else except my own self. Rasulullah Sahib told him, your iman is not kamil. Your iman is not perfect. Then after some time, he comes back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he tells him, Allah ki Rasul, I love you more than everybody else as well as my own self. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, now your iman is kamil. Now your iman is kamil. You see? So when we reach Allah Ta'ala, what kind of iman we want to go to Allah Ta'ala with? A naqis iman or a kamil iman? What kind? What kind of iman we want to take? A perfect iman or a deficient iman? What kind of iman? We all have to aspire that if we want to reach Allah Ta'ala, then we have to go with kamil iman. Perfect iman. Sahibat. Perfect iman. Then Hazrat says it comes in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have to have so much of muhabbat for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we love him more than everybody else. Second, when we have love for one another, then we must do it for the sake of Allah. Not for any worldly objectives or worldly motivation. Love one another for Allah. Love one another solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Not because if I love this person, show him, then he'll do me some favors or something. Not for favors. I love him for Allah. That's it, khalas. When you love somebody, love them for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third one is, if a person Allah ta'ala saved him from kufr, do you think that he will want to ever go back to kufr? After like somebody pulls a fellow out of the fire, will he ever want to go back into the fire? He'll never want to go back into the fire. So if we have love for Allah and His Rasul more than everybody else, Allah will grant us halawat of iman, sweetness of iman. And if we love one another solely for Allah Ta'ala, then Allah will grant us halawat of iman. And if a person, he was not born a Muslim, Allah favored him, and then He took him out and gave him iman, and he has hatred now for kufr, he doesn't want to go ever back towards that previous life of his, Allah will also give him the halawat of iman. May Allah grant us all the halawat of iman. You know, my Ustad Mu'abrasa rahmatullahi alayhi, I used to make his khidmat. Alhamdulillah, I was very fortunate. I stayed with him like a khadim, you know. So we became very close. So I used to make his tea. So he used to love full milk tea. Love milk tea. No water. You mustn't even put one drop of water inside the tea when you're making it. Full milk. And after that, after you make it, you must brew it properly. And after it's brewed properly, then you must still take balai and put on top, cream on top of that. Can you imagine how rich that tea is? Right? And then he should teach us that when you're going to stir the tea, you mustn't stir the tea like this here, with the spoon going around, because he says then all the heat is going to escape. When you stir the tea, you must just take the teaspoon inside and you must shake it in the center without stirring the top. He said, "Mutaharrikul awsat wa sakinu sath." The middle must be shaking, the top must be not moving. So that all the heat will get remained inside there. So one day I made for him a very nice cup of tea. I should do it all the time. You should enjoy it. So I put it in front. Hazrat, ye aapki chai ho gayi hai. This is your tea. So he made this dua. And if you give him something nice to eat, then you make this dua. Allah give you the sweetness of iman. Allah halawate imani naseeb farmade. That's the dua he used to give us. May Allah grant you halawat of iman. May Allah give you the sweetness of iman. And once the sweetness of iman comes into the heart, the world means nothing. Wallah, the world means nothing after that. Allah gave you iman. What is more beneficial for that, for you mu'min? That's the most important thing in his life. So little bit khidmat, but the du'as come out from the heart of the Ahlullah. Then in our lives, alhamdulillah, we feel the effect of those du'as, the athar of those du'as. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that لا يؤمن أحدكم. You won't be a complete mu'min until you love me more than your father, your mother, and all the people. Now, muhabbat will also be tested by Allah Ta'ala. Muhabbat gets tested. Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu rahmatullah alayhi mentioned, at the time of shadi, your muhabbat will get tested. Now you got your son to get married, you got your daughter to get married. Now what kind of wedding are you making? Dumdam. Western wedding. Now you get all kinds of wedding. They even bring a tiger inside. Sahibat. Then they put one ring around the tiger's neck. Sahibat. Some people made a wedding in the forest also. Forest wedding. Sahibat. One snow wedding. Sahibat. One fellow came and told me, Mufti Sahib, can you perform my nikah on the beach? I told him, bye. There's a masjid close by. What do you want me to come to the beach to perform your nikah? I don't perform nikahs on the beach. I told him, where is the masjid? Go there, the imam will perform your nikah. Tomorrow they tell me, Mufti Sahib, jump in the pool, we'll do underwater nikah. That's what they'll tell me. So the world is going in the opposite direction. So as it says, the iman is going to get tested. Your iman will get tested at the time of nikah. When we tell them, don't do all this khurafat, nikah time. What they say? They say, ye shadi ka ghar hai ya mayyat ka ghar hai? What they say? Is this a house for wedding house or is this a mayyat house? This is not mayyat house. There has to be some dhumdam, some dancing, some clapping, some this and that. But they do all like that. It's happening, mother. It's happening. It's very bad. Then you have the ladies dancing, the music is on. You have ikhtilat between men and women. Then they're walking in the halls together, everybody can see. Then that men, women sitting, all the khurafa. Then after that they go honeymoon, they come back and within 6 months they divorced. There's no barakat in that. Where's the barakat in that? This can never be barakat if we break the laws of Allah Ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the most amount of barakat in the nikah is aisaruha ma'una. So that the least amount of expenses that are incurred, the more barakat Allah Ta'ala will give. So make a nikah simple. Sahibat. Call few people from both sides. and perform it according to sunnah. There's no harm in feeding and all that, but do it in accordance to the sunnah and ta'lim and structures of the shariat. Nobody will stop you. But breaking the laws of Allah, spending half a million rand, 1 million rand, bringing big helicopters and making big, what do you call this here, a fancy and all those kind of, by leave all that, the people dying without food in the world today, give them the money. Or give the same couple the money. There's a startup for your life. You wanted something, we'll give you this money. Instead of us doing all this, bus people, you give them, call so many people to eat, 1,000 people to eat, then they'll say, that wasn't right, that food wasn't right, that was overcooked. They wouldn't say, mashallah, it was very, mashallah, it was, everything was very good. They won't even make dua for you. So they'll criticize you, and you spend so much of money. Why didn't you take that money and gave it to the boy and the girl and told them, bye, there's some money for you, start up your life. How much of help assistance will be for their life? They're only starting now in their life. But we don't think like that. You see, because we break all Allah's laws and then we expect the best outcome. It's not going to happen. Allah Ta'ala give us fahme salim, that we use our money properly. So don't waste money. Money is a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Don't abuse the money. Use it properly for the khidmat of deen. How many boreholes we could have dug. How many bewa women that we could have fed. How many aitam we could have looked after. How many good work we could have done with that money. Instead of wasting it in all these nonsense things, fuzul things. Nevertheless, Hazrat says, muhabbat will be tested also. And then people will make statements like that. Ke ye mayyat ka ghar hai ya ye shadi ka ghar hai? Muhammad Sallallahu Rahmatullah Alayhi. He mentioned that. And I said, ek zamana wo aayega. There will be a time that will come. This is important. Now you're saying this how many years ago? When he came, Stanga Allah was 40 years ago maybe. 40, 50 years when he came. He came few times to South Africa. One of his asfar. You could hear from his voice. He was young that time. Because when I was in Jalalabad, he was towards the end of his life. I was there when he passed away in Jalalabad. So his voice wasn't so coherent at that time when I was there. You really had to listen carefully. But this you could hear him quite clearly. He was young when he said this. He said, ek waqt wo aayega, ke manhi anhu ma'mur bihi ho jayega. Aur ma'mur bihi manhi anhu ho jayega. That time will come when something that will be prohibited by Allah, people will make it permissible. And something which Allah has made it permissible, they will make that prohibited. And we're living in that era. He said this how many years ago? This is his sentence, what I'm repeating. Now people tell me, but you know, people here in South Africa, they don't know Urdu. Then you like to use Urdu words. But these are the words that came out from the Mubarak tongue of our Akabirin with so much of ikhlas. There's so much of ta'asir in it. We can speak 1,000 words. It's not equal to one statement of theirs. So that we can do all the interpretations. But the Nuraniyat we won't get with our words. That's why I like to repeat the words of our Akabirin. I like to. So because there's Noor in it. There's Ta'asir in it. There's Ikhlas in it. There's Lillahiyat in it. There's effect in it. There's impact in it. So that's why I like to. So he said, Ek waqt wo aayega. The time will come. Jabke ma'mur bihi. Man hi anhu ma'mur bihi ban jayega. Something which Allah has prohibited, they'll say is permissible. It's okay, carry on. So close a blind eye. Women, men and all, they can mix. All that dancing, this, that's all. Jai's music. So now everything has become Jai's. Halal insurance, halal this, halal that. So there's nothing haram left now. They close the chapter of haram. The door of haram is closed. Sai Baji, everything has become halal. Why? We want to appease the whole dunya. We want to twist the laws of Allah, play around with the laws of Allah, like what the ulama of Bani Israel have done. Exactly the same thing what the ulama of Bani Israel has done, the ulama of this ummah is doing the same thing. Exactly the same. Today we have to have interfaith, we're sitting with the rabbis who are killing our children. We're doing all this nonsense. So all in the name of deen. Everything in the name of deen. All this khurafat that is happening is all in the name of deen. But there's no deen in it. Sai, but selling out the deen for a pittance of the dunya. That's the reality of the situation. And what is that? Plus, we are, our iman, we're jeopardizing the iman. Not only our iman, of generations to come. Of generations to come. Allahu Akbar. Generations to come. So my dearest, when this Abrahamic accord, I heard one Arab alim, he was saying, I asked the Christians, is there any dua you'll make for Ibrahim alayhi salam? They said, in our whole scriptures, we haven't come across a specific dua for Ibrahim alayhi salam. I asked the Christians, do you all make dua for Ibrahim alayhi salam? He says, we haven't found anywhere. Maybe it's inside there, but we haven't found it. So they don't make dua for Ibrahim alayhi salam. They don't. And we every day, Every day in our salah, every time we sit in tashahud, we read durood Ibrahim. Every day we're making dua for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Who's more closer to Ibrahim alayhi salam? Are we not close to Ibrahim alayhi salam? And what deen did Ibrahim alayhi salam follow? Hunafa wa yuqimu salah. Hunafa, all the adyani batila, he threw it one side, following the straight deen, the straight path. So therefore, we get caught up in all this here. Allah save us, save our iman and generations to come. And then Hazrat said, that time will come, and after that even a worse time will come. People will stop you from doing good deeds. That time will also come. When people will stop you from going for salah, they will stop you from doing good deeds. They won't say, let's go together. Let's go and do good things together. They won't say that. They won't make your targheeb to do good. They'll make your targheeb to do bad. And if you're doing good, they'll stop you from doing that good that you are doing. That time will also come. Hazrat said that many, many years ago. So these Ahlullah, they had a lot of firasat in what they said. And then he mentioned one thing. He said that we have confined deen to a few things only. Salat, Hajj, Zakat, Salat, Roza. We've confined it to that. He says, and the rest of it, we don't consider it to be deen. He says, well, Hajj, look at Hajj itself. Hajj, ek aadmi be aadmi ho jata hai. But you go for Hajj, you have to shed your clothes. You have to shed your identity. You go there, people don't know who you are. You are among so many millions of people. So that nobody is cared who you are, where you come from, what's your bank balance, what's your maqam, what's your status, what's your family. Who cares about all that? But you just one servant there in millions of people. You're all the same like everybody else, right? Rich and poor, everybody is there. So now, at the end of the day, Hajj is the structure of your identity, right? Roza is there, Zakat is there, so. But we have confined deen. Humne deen ko paanch chizo tak mahsoor kiya hai. Hazrat says mahsoor. You have confined it to these five things. And he says, when you eat food, do you consider that to be ibadat? I'm doing ibadat now. We don't consider eating food to be an ibadat. Halaki, eating food is an ibadat. If you read Allah Ta'ala's name and you ate your food, after you finished, you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and salat, and then you make dua to Allah, Allah feed me even what is better than what you have fed me now. So he says, if all these duas we're reading for food and it's not an ibadat, then what is an ibadat? It's absolutely an ibadat. Eating the food is an ibadat. But we don't consider it to be ibadat because we have confined deen to only five things. And he gives one waqia. He says, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he went to one place. When he went to one place, he said, if I want to find out who are all the pious people here. He said, there's one group of people, they're pious, go there, go and make mulaqat. So I want to meet them. He said, all right. So when he came, they were eating food. So he said, assalamu alaikum. They never answered him. They never give no answer. They carried on eating. After they finished eating food, they answered him, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You know, there are certain times you're not supposed to be making salam. There are certain times it's makruh to make salam to people. And from those, they got it in the fiqh kitabs, from those times that is makruh, one of it is when people are eating, it's makruh to make salam. You mustn't make salam. It's not necessary for them to give you an answer. Now Hazrat says, according to the Sufi ikram, the reason why you mustn't give the answer is because when you're eating, you're already in ibadat. Eating is an ibadat. The Sufia consider eating to be an ibadat. How many of us consider eating to be an ibadat? Eating is an ibadat. Sit down on the floor. Do it in accordance with the sunnah. Eat with your fingers. Read your dua. And then make niyat to Allah, the strength I will derive from here, I'll use it for your ibadat. And all, and then thank Allah Ta'ala, asking for more. Why, if it's not an ibadat, then why are there so many laws to it? As it says, it's an ibadat. So they told him, when you made salam to us, we were in the state of ibadat, that's why we could not answer you. Now sometimes, you know, when a person, Muslim brother, meets another Muslim, then automatically the salam just comes out. So Imam Ghazali, he knew the master, but the salam just came out, because one brother is meeting another Muslim brother. But the fuqaha ikram, they also say it's makruh, but they got a different reasoning for it. The fuqaha, this is what the sufiya are saying, the ahl-e-tasawwuf, that we are eating now, we imbibed, that's why we're not worthy for us to give you your answer. The fuqaha says, because if we're going to talk to you and give you answer, then maybe the food will get stuck here in the air pipe, and the fellow will choke, and he may die. And you was the cause of that. So it's not necessary for us to give the answer. So the fuqaha are saying the same thing, the sufiya are saying the same thing. The reasoning is not the same. They got a different reason, they got a different reason, but the actual hukam, the agreement in the hukam. In the law, they are in agreement. But how they reached there, that understanding was a bit different between the two categories of people. You see? So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us everything that we do in this world, it can be transformed into an ibadat. And when we stay with the Ahlullah, they will teach us how to make our entire existence in this earth, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Everything from A to Z, it will be made into an ibadat. So they don't take you away out of your businesses out there, because your business is also an ibadat. Hazrat said, to do zira'at, is it not an ibadat to be a farmer? It's an ibadat. To run a business, is it not an ibadat? It's an ibadat. He said, how do we know? He said, if it was not an ibadat, why are there so many laws to do with regard to business? If you want to form a company, for example, two people get together, they want to invest money, they want to share the dividends and all that. There's laws to all that. Then you'll have different types of masail we will teach you. Mudharabat. I said, mufawadah. When one person will say, see, I'm very busy, I got some money to invest, I'll be the investor. You got time, my money, take my money, I'll take my money and you invest and we split the profits. So is that not a surat of a structure of a partnership? It's a partnership. Mufawadha, understand, if they invest, both parties invest exactly the same amount of money and do the exact same split of profit in the end, that is mufawadha. And inan is, if they're not investing the same amount, one is investing more, one is investing less, and they, whatever agreement they have in the ratio of the profit. So that is called inan. So therefore, all these different structures of transactions and partnerships and company building and all that, Hazrat says, if it was not an ibadat, why will the Sharia give you so many masail regarding that? The fact that there is so many masail is indicative of the fact that your business is also an ibadat. Understand that? Your business is also an ibadat. Your zira'at is also ibadat. I remember in the books of fiqh, in the books of hadith, in the tashri', what is the most purest form of income? What is the most purest form? The most purest form of income is booty money, spoils of war. Spoils of war. When we go in jihad, and then we get victorious in the jihad, futuhat takes place, then we get spoils of war, then that spoils of war is distributed amongst the mujahideen. That is the most purest form of income ever. Spoils of jihad. Then after that, the most barakat Allah has put in zira'at. Zira'at. Tijarat. Yeah, in trade. Trade, Allah put a lot of barakat in trade. Number three is zira'at. Farming. Lot of barakat there. Allah has put a lot of barakat. And number four is hirfat, profession. Becoming a doctor, lawyer, engineer. That's on category four. That's not on category one, two, or three. That's right at the bottom. Today we have given that, put it right on top. But actually the most amount of barakah is not in that. The most amount of barakah is in trade. The most amount of barakah is in zira'at. The most amount of barakah is in spoils. So therefore, today, unfortunately, we do not consider all this to be an ibadat. But in actual fact, it is an ibadat. And if we stay in the sohbat of the Ahlullah, and we build our iman, then the way they will structure our lives for us, that the entire existence on the face of the earth from morning till night will be an ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept these few words, make it beneficial for all of us. And Allah ta'ala increase us in our iman, in our ibadat, in our nisbat, in our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the month of Ramadan Kareem, let us maximize this odd night tonight. Let's stay awake a bit tonight, inshallah. Just about 1 hour sleep, 1.5 hour sleep. And the rest tomorrow, inshallah, we can recover and make ibadat tonight to Allah ta'ala. Then stand up. And Allah ta'ala is very, very forgiving. Allah ta'ala, we take one step towards Allah ta'ala, walk towards Allah, Allah comes running towards us. So they say, your closeness to Allah ta'ala is one falling on your knee. When a person just falls on his knee, is become muqarrab banda of Allah. So just fall on your knee in front of Allah. Just fall on your knee in front of Allah Ta'ala, calm ho jayega. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, all of us tawfiq to become better Muslims, practical Muslims, people who have kamil iman. Strive to attain kamil iman so that when we leave this world, we leave with kamil iman. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi.